get into my day. He tries to manipulate my day, but he's not the one that's authoring the day. See, God made Adam, put him in a garden, and put a serpent there as well. The serpent was created, put in the garden with Adam for Adam to have dominion over. And in Adam's conversations with God, as long as Adam was talking to God, he had dominion over the serpent. When he started talking to the serpent, that's when he got in trouble. See, God is giving us the ability to be in control, but it starts with acknowledging him first. So Jesus's example is, I am going to get up early, go alone, and talk to God. See, we need to find a place where you can get some quiet and you can talk to God. Because talking to God is just part of the equation. When you pray, you have to talk to God, you have to listen to God, and then be prepared to move with God when God tells you what to do. Amen? So when we are in the position of prayer, we're starting our day right, we want to be able to move into these things. Now, having shown his disciples this, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Jesus is asked by his disciples, Master, teach us how to pray. We want you to teach us how to pray. We see you praying, but we want you to teach us how to pray. And so two different occasions, he teaches them how to pray. And we've been studying Matthew chapter 6. He also teaches them in Luke chapter 11. But when he starts teaching them in Matthew chapter 6, he gives them a pattern for prayer. A pattern for prayer. A pattern for prayer. Not words to say, but a pattern for prayer. Can you guys, for a minute, sing the warm-up song that you sang this morning? You guys remember what it was? Getting ready to get wound up. Here we go. Now, they just sang a song. And singing that song, you want to understand that there's a pattern to that song. See, music has a pattern. Okay? If you understand music, you can just hear a song and just sing a song. Right? You hear a song on the radio, you hear a little scale. Let's just do a little warm-up scale. Sit down. Y'all can sit down.
Back and forth.
All right. Now, why am I making them do that? What does that have to do with prayer? Every voice has a range. Every single voice, whether you think you can sing or you don't think you can sing, there's a range to your voice. There's a range. And if I kept making them go higher and higher, and I went out of some people's range. The higher I had them go, the discomfort of knowing I can't go that high. Why is he making me go higher when I'm at the cap? Music is like prayer. There is a natural range that all of us have when it comes to prayer. There's a natural range that we can go to. The way music is set up is that the basic understanding of music is that there's a series of octaves that all have a range of keys within it. And you can continue to move up a scale higher and higher and higher to get the point where you can't hear sound anymore. Okay? Prayer is the same way. Now, when you sing by nature, without any training, you just sing. And you don't care where the range is. You just sing what sounds good to you. You said, that's my song. I'm about to sing it. Here it go. Whatever you do. You sing your song the way, whatever sounds natural, whatever feels good to you is what you do. But then all of a sudden you get introduced to some musical theory and you start understanding that there's keys, there's notes, there's octaves, there's chords. There's all these different things that you had no idea were there. You just heard a song and it sounds good and I sang it. Now when I grew up, I had this favorite song and I memorized the song and I heard it over and over again. And I had that song in my head. I don't know anything about music, but I know that song. And when I hear it, I can sing it right back. And I'm not going to do it for y'all. I know y'all want to know what it is, and I'm not going to tell y'all. All right. Jesus says, pray ye after this manner. Pray ye in this way. He's introducing them to a pattern of prayer. Now, if you get into trouble, you can just say, help me, Jesus. And that's a prayer. But there's a skill level in prayer that you can cultivate and you can develop that allows you to go past help me, Jesus, into praying accurately and praying with a certain amount of power that's not necessarily as available when you only know help me, Jesus. Amen? So Jesus gave his disciples a teaching, and the teaching allowed them to have an understanding about where their natural range was when it came to prayer. Because certain aspects of the Lord's prayer, as he gave them, began to minister to them, and they started seeing areas where they were strong and they could jump right into the song, and they saw areas they were weak and they needed to work on it. And so we have this training from Jesus that introduces us to several parts of prayer, a pattern of prayer. And the other thing about music is this. None of our musicians have sheet music. So sheet music would be, I learn how to read notes and I begin reading notes and I play back what I see. But then there's a level that goes past that, that plays by ear and by sense, that you listen and your skill level gets to a certain point, you can not only play the song, but you can improvise in the song. And you can begin playing and you hear somebody, one person's playing something different, you can follow them and play different with them. And you can come up with new combinations and new different things as you're innovating because you've gotten high enough in your skill level that you don't have to only stick with the script. Prayer is that way. We can learn how to pray and get into the position where we're not just praying to the air and wondering what's going to happen, but we get to pray and we can start to sense where God is moving. We can start to pray and get to the point of our maturity in prayer where we can start to pray and clearly hear and not question what we hear back. We can get to the position of prayer that we pray, we hear, and we know what to do next. Because it's a growth. It is a development. And like a musician or a singer, there's always the first point we start. But I have a friend who's a music teacher, and she said, we can teach any person who has a voice how to sing. Now, you may not believe that. Some of you was sitting here with the person next to you, and you may say, I don't believe that. Now, y'all didn't get that. Okay. Anybody with a voice can be taught how to sing if you can teach them the technique, if you can teach them the pattern, if you can teach them how it works, if you can teach them control, if you can teach them the other things that go into being a good singer, you can become a singer. They may not pay you to be a singer, but you can become a singer. Amen? All of us can pray. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, you don't have to turn there, but Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, Jesus spoke a parable to them that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. We should always pray. Men should always pray and not lose heart. That there's a desire on God's part for us to always be in prayer, because prayer is a relationship. Prayer is not just the talking. Prayer is the actual relationship between us and God. And when we understand that and we start to understand the pattern of prayer, then it gives us a position that we can begin to innovate with our prayer. We can begin to move in prayer, and we become confident in our prayer, and we're instant in season and out of season when it comes to praying for others and for our own needs. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. As we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Worship team, thank you guys very much for willing to help me out here. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin at verse 8. Praise the Lord. It says, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, Jesus went away at a certain time to a certain place, and he had a plan. He had a pattern. He had what he did, what he talked to the Father about. Now, we are given by Jesus a plan for prayer. How many of you ever prayed and just kind of ran out of words? You ever just been praying and just ran out? I think I prayed everything. I can't remember if I did. I may or may not. I don't know. But you can get to that point where you don't know if you prayed enough. You don't know if you prayed through. You don't know if you prayed exact. So Jesus gives this pattern of prayer to help us understand where we are in terms of prayer and have a pattern laid out in which we can pray. Now, look at this. The very first verse, verse 9. In this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The very first thing is, in prayer, you have to connect to God in relationship. Very first thing. See, Jesus said this. He said, I'm no longer making you, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer servants. I'm sharing with you everything the Father said. A servant doesn't know what his master's doing. But I'm not calling you that. I'm making you friends. I'm building a relationship with you. I'm causing you to have a relationship with the Father. And that's the first thing in prayer we have to understand. He doesn't say this, oh great and mighty God. He doesn't say El Shaddai. He doesn't say El Elyon. He doesn't tell them to pray that way. He says, when you pray, say, our Father. Our Father. God is not just a force out there. God is not just a thing out there. God says, I want you to be in relationship. I want you to call me Father. I want you to call me Father. Now, I had an experience once. I walked into a classroom in a Bible school I used to oversee. And I sat down, and some conversation was going on. And one of the people in the classroom turned around and looked at me And instantly the Holy Spirit said, adopt them. Like, whoa. And I looked him right in the eyes. I said, from this day forward, you are mine. I adopted him. Why? The Holy Spirit just told me to do it. Now, when I did that, I didn't know what the outcome of that or why that would be or what. I didn't know anything about that. The Holy Spirit told me to do it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wanted to illustrate for me the spirit of adoption. The person didn't do anything. They're just minding their own business. They turned around and looked at me, and the Holy Spirit said, adopt them. That's what God has done for you. You're minding your own business. You're living your life. Doing all of a sudden, God says, I adopt you. You're mine. I adopt you. You're mine. Wait a minute. I'm yours? Yes, you're mine. First thing in prayer, don't come to God as a force. Come to God as a child of His. Very first thing, come to God and let Him be a father to us. Now, what does a father do? A father tells you the truth. A father helps provide. A father will get you if you ain't right. And you know what the Bible says? Who the Lord loves, He corrects. God sends correction to His children. God sends wisdom to His children. God teaches His children. God provides and supplies for His children. God does for His children. The very first thing about prayer is that you have to know that God is a father and not distant. A father hears. Father sees. And that's who God says I am first. Now, the spirit of adoption, we talked about in Romans chapter 8. The resurrection of Jesus has made us new creations and has made us the children of God. When we said yes to Jesus, we became new creations in Him. We became connected to God, and we now have a relationship of father, daughter, father, son. Amen? Let's look in the next verse. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Let's go back. I missed one part I want to get to before I go there. Verse 9. Hallowed be your name. First we said Father. The second is hallowed be your name. To hallow a name is to worship. So they just sang the song. We have come into this place to lift up holy hands and worship Him. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. I want you to look real quickly at the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Proverbs 18 and 10. Hallowed be the name. I'm going to give you lots of scriptures, so just write them down. You may not be able to turn to them quite as fast. I'm going to go. Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So when we say, hallowed be thy name, we need to know the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The picture in this case is like a tower in a castle. That a castle is built, and they build a tower in order for two things to happen. Number one, that they can observe and see who's trying to come at them. And number two, it's a safe place because who's ever trying to come at you can't get to you. So when they say the name of the Lord is a strong tower, we're saying that God's name, when God's name is among us, when God's name is declared to us, it becomes a tower of strength to us. It becomes a place of strength to us. It becomes something that we can rest on and hold on to. So when we say the name of Jesus takes over all the old names that God had before them. So in the Old Testament, God was known as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. And He was known as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And He was known as Jehovah Makedeshim, the Lord our righteousness. And He was known all these different names that God had. And people would give Him a name based on an experience that they had with God. So somebody is in a trouble and God shows up and helps them. They give God a name. Woo, God is Jehovah Shalom. Man, I was in a bad situation and the peace of God hit me. What is that? Jehovah Shalom just showed up. But then Jesus comes on and says, he's been given the name above every name. In other words, all those old names you have for God, you can wrap them up into one name, and that is Jesus. You can take all those names and wrap it up, and it just means this one thing. Jesus is the name above every name. It is all the names. So when we say, hallowed be thy name, Lord, we are making your name holy. Your name is set apart. Your name is different than anything else. It's not Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, the name above every name. A person won't maybe call themselves Jesus. Guess what? You might have named yourself Jesus, but you ain't the real Jesus. There's a name that's above a name. The name is an embodiment of a thought. It's the embodiment of an idea. It's the how things manifested. So when you say my name, if you know me, then you know what my name means. So when I come to you and I say my name is Derry, you immediately equate me with whoever else you know that's named Derry. Why? Because a name carries a weight. Oh, my name is so-and-so. Oh, my brother's name there. Immediately, why? You have a familiarity because that name means something. Hallowed be thy name. The name of the Lord means something. The more we know the name of the Lord, the more it becomes a strong tower for us. So when we're praying the name of the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. The next part of that is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That in prayer, what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, you're in control. So I'm letting your will be done in my life the way it is done in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's an interesting thing about God. God has all power, but he's given all authority to people. He's given all authority to people. It's called will. What you will. We say, man, I don't have willpower. Or I have a lot of willpower. What do we know your will has a power. But what God has done is God put Adam in a garden and he said, you do whatever you want to do. Have dominion over everything. Just don't touch this one tree. Just don't eat from that tree. What did he do? He gave him authority. He gave him the ability to do whatever he wanted to do. But there's one thing you need to stay away from. Well, kingdom life in Jesus is the same way. We're free to do whatever we want to do, but every choice we make has a consequence attached to the decision. So God comes back and then says, you're free to do whatever you want, but here's some guidelines you need to follow. And if you follow these guidelines, they will protect you from the outcomes of wrong decisions. So God gives us grace through Jesus Christ. He says, now, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free. You're given total freedom in Christ. But now, everything is okay for me, but everything's not expedient. Everything doesn't work for me. So to understand that I want to be in position where I'm praying, first of all, God's priorities and not my priorities. If I made the world, then I can pray my own priorities. But since I didn't, I need to pray God's priorities. You can stand on the edge of Grand Canyon and say, it's beautiful. I want to jump to the bottom. You can do that if you want to. There's a consequence to that decision because you don't control certain things, which once you take the step, which you control, there's some things behind that you don't control. And that's how God has given us. Pray, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Let God give us the wisdom to see what his will is so that we can move in conjunction with his will. Move with him in his will, what he desires for us, that we can move through and we can move in. Turn back to Matthew chapter 6. So we've been talking about these aspects of prayer. I want to kind of bring us down to this next couple things here. God's priorities include manifestation of the kingdom, that we're praying for God's kingdom to be manifested. We're praying for the making of disciples, that it's God's will that none should perish, that all should come to a knowledge of the truth, that we want people to be discipled in the things of God. That doesn't mean to be discipled in the things of church. To be discipled in the things of God so that people know how to live their lives in the kingdom of God, not just in the kingdom of church. Because too many times we try to make people kingdom of church people. And we know how to behave properly in the church. And we know how to do the right things. We know how to say all the right things in church. But we know how to live for God outside of the walls of the church. So we need to pray for God's kingdom to be manifested, because his kingdom hits wherever my feet set. So when I go home, the kingdom is still the same. We're trying to pray thy kingdom come because we want to reestablish Eden wherever we go. We want to reestablish God's garden, which is God's place of provision, God's place of blessing, God's place of wealth for us wherever we go. And when I say wealth, I'm not talking about money wealth. I'm talking about kingdom wealth. Because the kingdom is not meat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. To be able to, wherever I go, to have the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Lord, wherever I go, that will cause everything else to be added to me. Amen? Because if you seek the kingdom, then what happens? All other things will be given to you. Amen? When you can bring righteousness, peace, and joy into whatever environment you go into, then the kingdom will be manifested. So that's what we want to be praying. Lord, let the kingdom be manifested wherever I go today. Asking God, let that kingdom be shown wherever I go. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next is, give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to have you write down Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. This gets down to depending on God's supernatural supply for us and for others. Not just praying for, Lord, let me have my daily bread. Lord, give us today. Praying for other people as well. Intercession, praying for people's needs to be met. Praying to not only have the needs be met, but being willing, because again, prayer is talking to God, listening to God, and moving with God. Sometimes being willing for God to use you in provision for other people. Use you to provide for other people. That's amazing. Amen? Psalm 121. Verse 1 through 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from who? The Lord who made heaven and earth. I'm not looking to people to provide for me. I'm looking for the Lord to provide. Amen? I'm not looking for people to help me. I'm looking for the Lord to be my help. Amen? He may use people to help me, but I'm not waiting for them to help me. I'm looking for the Lord to be my help. Amen? And this word I can stand on. I look, lift up my eyes. In other words, I want everybody to lift your eyes up. You know what that means? Where are you looking when you lift your eyes? You're looking to heaven. Amen? You ain't looking to people. Sometimes when people get on your nerves and you need some help, don't look at them. Lift up your lift up your eyes. It will help you instantly. I will lift up my eyes. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. It is a declaration to say, I'm not counting on people. I'm counting on God. And let me tell you something. When you count on God and not people, there's people who you don't even know that will come and help. When you're looking at people, you're locked on where you think your help comes from. If you look up to God, he can do all things. Look at the last part. Who made heaven and earth? Listen, would you rather count on somebody who all they've made is some knucklehead kids? Or would you rather count on the Lord who made heaven and earth? Is that real or what? Who do you want to count on? You want to count on the Lord. The Lord is the creator of maker and the maker of heaven and the earth. So what do we want to do? We want to count on God. When we're praying, we're saying, Lord, let your daily bread give me today. Give us today our daily bread. We're asking God to be the provider and not people or things. Man, I work for this company and they start laying people off. I said, Lord, don't let them lay me off. I said, okay. They laid everybody off except me and the secretary. They laid 30-some people off. But now I got the job. Now I'm doing all the work of all the people they laid off. You ask God a question, he will answer. Amen? Ooh, Jesus. Lord, I should have said, Lord, let your will be done. Hey, you learn on this road. Amen? If you're willing, God will teach you something. is praying God's agenda. Praying what God's agenda is and not our agenda. Letting God meet our needs according to his riches and glory. God's only limit on our lives is our faith. And faith can be cultivated because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If we can hear the word, it will grow our faith so that we can believe God for more. See, what I believe by nature, I believe that if I get a job, I can make a certain amount of money. And there's sometimes there's a certain dollar amount that you may have heard that is like an internal barrier. It's like, that's a lot of money. And that's a lot of money threshold that you hit and you think, wow, it's going to be hard to get past that dollar. Where did that come from? It came from the world system. It came from the world system telling us where the lines are. So I had a relative who he rubbed it in one day. He said, I'm a millionaire and all I've ever been is a janitor. I've never done anything except being a janitor. I'm a millionaire, man. That's okay. That's fine. Now, wait a minute. How's a janitor become a millionaire without doing anything else? See, our minds. We're having a hard time. Well, what did he do? What did he do then? Because your mind has a line. It says that if you're this, that's what you can make. That's what you can do. But you know what you're saying? You're saying, that's the line, and God, I want you to provide, but I'm going to have a hard time believing you can go past the line. We have some internal limits already built, and we have to challenge the limits and let God speak. Let God begin to speak to us. Let God begin to guide us. Stop praying for get to the line. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, give me today my daily bread. Provide for me what I need today. Lord, give me what I need in order to fulfill the purpose you have on my life, to be purpose-driven and not money-driven. Amen? Next is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So last week we talked about the fact that in the book of John, let's go there, John chapter 20, Jesus gave his disciples the Holy Spirit. He's risen from the dead. They're in absolute shock to see Jesus. And what does he do? He says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. They receive the Holy Spirit from him. And then, with no other instruction, he doesn't tell them anything else to do. I want you to look at this. And when he has said this, John chapter 20, verse 22. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Next verse. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. When you read this passage, here's the thing that you can take from this. When God gives the Holy Spirit, one of the powers he gives you for the Holy Spirit, one of the absolute powers that you get with the Holy Spirit is the power to forgive. Receive you the Holy Spirit. If you forgive, I'll forgive. What? That's far from what most people ever thought about the Holy Spirit being able to do in our lives. But what he says right here immediately, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive, I'll forgive. But if you retain, those sins will be retained. And what does that mean? We talked about that last week. It doesn't mean that those sins won't be forgiven. It means that if you choose to retain the sin that you should forgive, then you live with the weight of it. It'll be retained. It'll stay with you. You can forgive or you can hold it. But I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, which means that you will have a supernatural power by the Holy Spirit to release stuff that you want to hold on to. To release in forgiveness, because you're not doing it by your natural ability. You're doing it by the Holy Spirit, doing that Spirit of God. To release and forgive. When you forgive debts, your debts are forgiven. In other words, if you can become a person of forgiveness, my mother used to tell me this. I was mad, somebody said something about me. My mother said, just outlive it. If it's a lie, just outlive it. Just keep going on about your business. The truth will manifest itself. The truth is going to be seen. Just outlive it, man. That's all you got to do. What does that mean? It means don't dwell on that. Let that go and you live, because if you forgive, then you'll have the forgiveness down the road, because the truth will be manifested. Amen. God says, if you forgive, then I will forgive you. When you let stuff go, you've opened the door for me to then bless you and release you from the burdens you have. Because trust me, I gave God some burdens. Just like you have. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know you might have gave God some burdens. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you did too. Amen. All right, now let's get down to this next level, because this next level starts to get to where we really have to be able to pick this pattern up. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is our engagement of spiritual warfare. So let's talk about what we've done so far. The pattern of prayer, just like a pattern of music, a song has an introduction, and the song may have a chorus, and the song may have these different pieces, and you hear the song go in different places. Our prayer has the same kind of flow. Our prayer begins with acknowledgement of God, and then it continues with a worship of his name, and then it continues with a yielding to his will. And then it moves into a declaration of our provision. Then it goes into saying, I release people of bondages I hold against them, and I receive forgiveness from the Lord. So this pattern of prayer, pattern of prayer, pattern of prayer. But now you get to this next layer, which is about the devil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The devil finally showed up. I've been in here praising God, asking God for things, doing good, but now I have to deal with this issue of Satan. See, Satan wasn't mentioned when it came to God's will being brought to pass, because Satan doesn't have the power to compromise God's will from coming to pass in your life. See, when he said, let the will of God be done, he didn't say, and bind that devil. No, he didn't say that. He said, you pray, Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God has nothing to do with Satan. Nothing. Satan does not have the power to compromise your life. He has the power to deceive. He has the power to throw things into your environment. He has the power to get you to get off the will by temptation. Lead us not into temptation. See, the will of God, if we can get we can push the temptation aside, the will of God is here. It has nothing to do with the devil. It has nothing to do with us aside. Lead us not into temptation. God says, just declare that I won't do that. Turn to your neighbor and say, God will not lead you into temptation. Wait a minute. If God doesn't tempt me, where does it come from? But deliver us from the evil one. So the evil one, he's the one that brings the temptation. He's the one that brings things into play. He's the one that comes and tries to tempt you. It's important to understand here. It doesn't say fight the devil's impact. It doesn't say fight the devil's forces. It doesn't say that. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Why? Because we already been given authority. When we walk in the authority that we are given, Satan becomes less and less of a factor. Less and less of a factor. But what he does is he calls from the side temptation. So I gave my life to the Lord. And I went into my house. I got rid of everything that I thought was going to cause me a problem. I got rid of everything. I put stuff off the walls and I got stuff out. I threw stuff away. I did everything to get clean the environment, get everything clean. Whew. No temptation. And then I went to this restaurant with a friend of mine. And we went to the restaurant and I'm sitting there at the table and temptation walked to the table. Where did you come from? Now, temptation, I'm sitting in this chair and temptation's over there. It's not here. It's there. You understand what I'm saying? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The evil one doesn't have power to come and grab you and draw you into temptation. He has the power to tempt you or to throw things into your environment to get you to come off of your chair where you're seated into the environment where it reigns. That's what this is all about. See, to get in this position of prayer with God and become a person of prayer with God and to be able to walk with God and have this conversation with God and live with God and walk with God keeps you out of the environment. Now, here's what the environment is. God created Adam and put him in the garden. Amen? Put him in the garden. What was in the garden? There's a serpent in the garden. But then everything else Adam needs is in the garden. If Adam doesn't talk to the serpent, he doesn't have a problem. If Adam talks to the serpent and puts the serpent in his place, he doesn't have a problem. He only has a problem when he listens to the serpent. See, when I'm sitting here and this temptation comes and presents itself, the conversation is fine until I start listening to the conversation. Now, when I drive the conversation, then we don't have a problem. When I slow down and let them lead the conversation, now we have a problem. Why? Because I'm yielding my authority. I'm releasing my authority. I'm giving this my attention. And because I'm giving it attention, it now has the ability to start talking to me. Has God really said this? Does it really require all that to be saved? Can't you really just do this? Well, you know, we're going over here. Why don't you come with us? Why don't you do it? All the authoring starts happening. Why? Because I'm listening. I'm praying with them. Because praying is talking and listening. I want to pray with them. I want to pray with God. I want my conversation to be with God. And then my conversation to then be in a position where I get my input from God or from those who God sends. And not from the evil one. Now, this is the power of the prayer. God is saying, I want to give you that power. I want you to ask me for it because I know what you need before you even ask. So I'm telling you, you should ask me to give you power over the evil one. Ask for me to not lead you into temptation, to guard the way of temptation. Now, does that mean you'll never have temptation come to you? No, it means that when it comes, you need to know you have a garden already around you. You know you already have a garden. You have a place of safety. You have something around you to help you. Because again, if you're on your own, then guess what? You're going to do what seems right. And the word says this, there's a way that seems right to a man, that the end leads to destruction. But God, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. In the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run to it and the righteous are safe. Amen. Final thing he says, go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6 and 12. We're going to end with these last two things here. We're talking about this warfare. We're going to understand 2 Corinthians, you keep turning to Ephesians 6, but 2 Corinthians 10 says that we're not, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, there's strongholds already out there that have already become, they're already part of our lives. this is going to be too much. All right, Ephesians 6 and 12, let's just go there. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You're not wrestling with flesh and blood. You're wrestling with principalities and powers. People are not the problem. Now, it can seem like people are embodied with the devil sometimes, but people are not the problem. It is spiritual hosts of wickedness. When we say deliver us from the evil one, you need to know the evil one is not a person. The evil one is a spirit. And so you can stay away from a person and come over here, and that same spirit jumps and he's over here now. So you can keep avoiding people, but all you just go to is different environments where the same spirit keeps coming against you. Why? Because it's a spirit that's familiar with you and it knows it can dominate you unless you take authority over it, and you can keep bouncing from place to place and doing whatever you can, but until you take spiritual authority over that thing, it will follow you. This young man I was mentoring, he's having trouble. He said, I'm going in the military. I said, but know this, young man, when you go, what's here is going to follow you there. He said, oh, I can't do that. When he got out of the military, he said, it was right there. When I left this place and went over here, that thing was right there. Why? Because it wasn't there because it's there. It's there because of you. It's trying to exercise authority over you. You're going to have to look the serpent in the eye and say, this is what God says. And you know what? When we're praying this prayer, we're saying, God, thank you for the strength to be able to say to the serpent when he shows up, whether he's speaking through a person, whether he's speaking through an old friend, whether he's speaking through your grandmother, if he shows up, you need to be able to say, man will not live by blood alone, but whatever God provides. You need to be able to give them the word of God back and fight that thing and push it back. We'll talk about more about spiritual warfare another time. But I want you to understand that this prayer is also a declaration of spiritual warfare. It is saying that I know that God is with me and God's given me power over certain things. And then finally, we close prayer with this. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's an expression of faith in God's power and your authority. God can only show up where he's invited, or he will only show up where he's invited. Okay? That's what happened in the garden. When man made a choice, he said, I choose not God's voice. I choose another voice. God says, well, then you have to go out of the garden. When we say yours is the power and the glory forever and ever, we're saying, God, I believe. I believe in your power. I believe in your glory. I believe in you. I believe, and that's that final declaration that when you're praying, you always want to close your prayers with some form of declaration of God. Some form of declaration about who God is and what God is and God's ability, God's power to do all that we can think about. The kingdom is all rule belongs to God. The power is all mightiness flows from God, and the glory is all the fullness belongs to God. All the fullness. Turn to your neighbor and say, I believe that God has all power. Everything is God's kingdom. And God has all glory. All glory. Why don't you stand on your feet for just a moment here? Take your neighbor's hand. Or you can lock arms with your neighbor. If you don't feel comfortable holding a hand, lock arms with them. Hallelujah. We're going to make a declaration. Because prayer is talking to God, listening to God, moving with God. And I want to walk us through this prayer because I want us to be able to put the pieces together here. And we're going to just pray real briefly. We're going to pray through the Lord's Prayer together really quickly. But I want you to understand that prayer is like music in that you can go through a series of keys and move through and move through. And if you were on an 88 key piano keyboard, that it starts with low octaves and it goes all the way up to high ones. But they replicate. And that you go A through G and then you start A again. You go A through G and you start A again. You go A through G and you start A again. And when they were singing the scales earlier, that's what they were doing. They were going from A to G. And then they would go from A to G at a higher level. They would go from A to G at a higher level. So we just went through a pattern of prayer that we're going to pray together. But when you go through the pattern of prayer, what I want you to know is that every day you can all day long be going through the pattern of prayer. And you can be going from a low octave to a high octave. And that at first you might just be praying for the immediate circumstances, and then God might lead you to pray for your city. Or God might lead you to pray the same prayers for your street. God might lead you to pray these prayers for your coworkers. He might lead you to pray for the government. He might lead you to pray for specific people that are in your lives. That God will continually open you up to more conversation, beginning with praise. Beginning with you talking to God as a father and working you through to saying, "Yours is the power and the glory forever and ever." Hallelujah. So we're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. You are our God. Holy is the name of Jesus. Jesus is the name above every name. And we thank you today for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, this person's hand who I'm holding right now, Lord, I pray that your kingdom would come in their life. Lord, that you would build a garden of Eden around them in the name of Jesus, Lord. A place of provision, a place of health, a place of safety, a place of power. That you would bless them, Lord God. Let your will be done in their life the way your will would be done if they were standing before you in heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, give this person daily bread. Provide for their needs. Hallelujah. Lord, meet their emotional needs, Lord. Lord, if they're calling out for friendship or they're calling out for companionship, Lord, send somebody around to be a blessing to them right now. Lord, if they have physical needs, Lord, bring healing into their body in the name of Jesus. Give us daily healing bread right now. Lord, that whatever's ailing them would be pushed away right now. Hallelujah. Lord, if they have a financial need, Lord, meet their needs according to your riches and your glory by Christ Jesus right now. Lord, forgive us our debts. We thank you that whatever obligation, the obligation of sin, the obligation of errors, the obligation of things that we have made mistakes about, Lord, forgive us of those things. Hallelujah. And Lord, we receive your forgiveness. And because we receive your forgiveness, we set our mind on whoever we're holding an obligation against, and we release them right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. We set everyone in our environment free of obligation from us. Nobody owes us anything from this day forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us not into temptation. We thank you, Lord, that you're covering our way. We thank you that you've given us power and authority to overcome every temptation that's put into our lives. We thank you that your word says that there is no temptation that's overtaken us except that which is common to man. But with every temptation, you've also already made a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. So we thank you for the way of escape. Hallelujah. And we thank you the escape is not running, but we thank you that the escape is strength and power to overcome. Hallelujah. We thank you that the evil one is not a factor. Hallelujah. We thank you that because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of the blood of the Lamb, Lord, you have already given us the victory over Satan. So we thank you that every weapon that's been formed against us, not one of them will prosper. No temptation, no thing, no opposition, no challenge will overwhelm us. But we thank you that we've been given strength and authority to overcome the evil one.